is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. 4 days after that mass jailbreak in Louisiana, six escaped inmates are still on the run, and some prosecutors and court witnesses have been taken into hiding for fear they may be targeted for revenge. CBS's Naomi Ruckham reports.
Officials believe those still on the run may be relying on the help of family and friends. Family members of their victims are now in fear for their own lives. At least one escaped inmate was captured based on a tip from the public, and authorities have now upped their reward to a total of $20,000 per fugitive.
More tornadoes ripped through the nation's midsection yesterday. At least four confirmed in Nebraska and in Oklahoma.
Well, the wind started blowing real hard, and it was probably 75 to 80 miles per hour. And me and my girlfriend, we got back in the house.
More than two dozen dead since the storms hit this past weekend, with more severe weather forecast. Cautious optimism and a veiled threat from President Trump after his latest phone parlays with the Russian and Ukrainian leaders.
Got very big egos involved, I tell you. Big egos involved. But I think something's going to happen. And if it doesn't, I just back away and they're going to have to keep going.
Trump says Pope Leo may have a role to play in the peace efforts. A payout for the family of one of the rioters killed in the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol building.
The Trump administration will pay nearly $5 million to the family of Ashley Babbitt. She was the Trump supporter who was shot and killed while in the mob breaching the Capitol on January 6th. The DOJ has agreed to make the payment to Babbitt's family to settle its wrongful death claim. There was a $30 million civil suit filed by the conservative activist group Judicial Watch on behalf of Babbitt's estate. Footage from that day showed the 36-year-old trying to climb through a smashed window as the mob sought to breach the House Speaker's lobby. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The head of the U.S. Capitol Police called word of that settlement extremely disappointing and said it, quote, sends a chilling message to law enforcement officers across our nation. Another air traffic control outage at Newark International Airport. CBS's Christopher Cruz has that.
This is at least the fourth outage affecting Newark in the past 3 weeks.
It may be a while. They lost the radar and frequencies again.
That's Airport Tower Communications from Live ATC. The FAA says the outage lasted just 2 seconds and all aircraft maintained safe separation.
In Hollywood, will the real Darth Vader please stand up?
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
The actors' unions filed an unfair labor practice charge against gaming outfit Llama Productions, alleging the company improperly used AI and not a living actor to generate Darth Vader's voice in Fortnite. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A city payout over a troublesome tree is a big issue for the Racine City Council tonight. Alders are set to vote on whether to override Mayor Corey Mason's veto of a $21,000 payment to a resident whose car was destroyed by a falling branch from a city-owned tree. Critics say the use of the mayor's veto for the routine claim settlement is unusual, especially as the city has routinely approved similar claims in the past. Council members say the case raises questions about consistency. Data centers need to be cooled, and a Racine company is spending big money to make that happen. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports Modine Manufacturing is investing $38 million to expand its production of chillers for data centers. It'll create 450 new jobs for the company. An upgraded facility of theirs will start making more cooling systems this summer to meet growing demand. The expansion is said to support the growth of data centers like Microsoft is building in Mount Pleasant. Southeastern Wisconsin gas prices are right around that $3 mark, with Waukesha the cheapest out of Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha today. Melissa Kay has more about the price at the pump around the state.
Gas prices rose 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.98 today. This is 2.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Oil prices jumped following President Trump's decision to reduce tariffs and strike new trade deals. This move caused gas prices to increase in over three quarters of U.S. states last week. Drivers are seeing significant savings at the pump compared to a year ago, but that gap has narrowed as oil prices have rebounded. As it looks now, this could be one of the most affordable summers for motorists since the pandemic.
And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. For the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a four-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. Now, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden with Sports on Mike Clemens.
It's going to be windy and cold with rain, heavy rain likely here today. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more by the time everything winds down late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Our high today near 50, wind will be east gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, not as windy. High of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Email, what a pain that ended up being. You ever that friend that writes really long emails? You open them up, you feel like you got homework. Can't read this dissertation now. I'm gonna keep that as new. I never even read them half the time. I just hit reply. Sounds good. Don't write back ever. It is amazing how emails changed our lives. Though. You ever get a handwritten letter in the mail? You're like, what the hell? Has someone been kidnapped? Well, I'm not open. It's probably filled with anthrax. Emails definitely made sending regular mail a chore. You're like, what, I stuck in the envelope? Now I gotta go outside? What, am I a triathlete here? Work, 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 work. I do love how informal email is, but then when I have to write an email to a smart person, I get all tense. Great, now to be sure this is a complete sentence, I guess I'll capitalize a letter or two. That's a symptom of being lazy when you can't quite reach the shift key. They get the idea.
Say good morning to Robin Ehrlich, who is the Communications and Public Relations Coordinator for the Milwaukee Film Festival, which just wrapped up a 15-day run at the Oriental and Downer Theaters in downtown Milwaukee. You exhausted, Robin?
Yes, but less exhausted now. We've had like a week and a half to recover, so we're definitely getting back to business as usual a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, when do you start preparing for next year's?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess. The programmers are kind of always watching films that they are keeping in mind for next year's festival or for our Dialogues documentary festival, which we have in the fall. My work more starts again, I would say, like October, November is when we start kind of, you know, selecting the artist for the campaign art next year and putting together some ideas for the program book, stuff like that.
I love movies. I love movies. I can remember every single movie I've ever seen and the theater I've seen it in. And I'm talking back
to... That's incredible.
Yeah, back to the 50s. My first movie was Tammy and the Bachelor when I was a little kid at a drive-in theater with my mom and dad. I remember... I could tell you... You name the movie that I've seen, and I'll tell you which theater I've seen it in. I just, wow. It's a superpower. I don't know how I got this superpower, but I have it. I don't know what to do
That's
with it.
That's an incredible power.
I can't monetize it, though. There's no way to make money with that superpower. Nobody cares.
I think it's cool, though.
All right. I got a quick before we start with all the stats from the Milwaukee Film Festival. You've seen the Beatles movie A Hard Day's Night, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know the name The Beatles is never mentioned in the entire film?
Really?
Yep. Never mentioned it.
I would not have thought that.
Nope. You see it once on Ringo's drum where it says The Beatles, but you'll never hear anybody mention it in the film. I don't know if it was done consciously or why they didn't do it, but they never mentioned The Beatles. They referred to them, but they never used that name in the entire film.
That's so interesting. I guess they didn't have to mention it. We all knew why we were there.
Yeah, you assumed. Yeah. All right, here's another word that's never mentioned in The Godfather. The word is mafia. And the reason they didn't mention it is the producers made a deal with the real mafia to get their support for the production, not to mention the word mafia.
That's really cool, actually.
See what you learn?
I think that's really interesting.
See what you learn here on WRJN, huh? You learn smart.
No, this is great. I didn't know I was going to learn so much today.
Oh, I got more if you want to learn stuff. I got tons of stuff here. All right, so the Milwaukee Film Festival wrapped up 15 days playing at the Downer and Oriental Theaters. Give us a rundown. How many films were run altogether?
Yeah, so we showed, I think, 208 films across 265 screenings.
Whoa.
Because we showed quite a few multiple times. And that includes short films and feature films.
You made a lot of money too. $150,000, huh?
Yeah, that was super exciting. That was part of our Real Impact campaign because we're an arts nonprofit. So we had an original fundraising goal of $85,000. And I think by day six of the festival, we met that. So we had to raise the goal to $100,000. And then the next day we met that. And then we had to raise it again, and we were like, okay, we're going to raise it one final time. We can't keep doing this, to $125,000. And they exceeded it again, and people were just really generous and excited about the festival and the organization. So that was really cool.
This surprised me. Total attendance, over 32,000. That was 32,004. But 32,000 people, whoa, in two theaters.
Yeah, I know. That was so exciting, too. So we matched, basically, our 2024 attendance, which doesn't sound that impressive at first. But then when you think about the fact that we had two less screens that we're showing films at this year's festival, we didn't have the two additional venues, which if you do the math, which I did not do, but someone else did the math and told me this, that it reflects the growth of average attendance at each screening of 47% of last year's averages.
Let's talk about some of the awards. The Catalyst Awards, at the Able... Or Abel? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, Abley. Abley Catalyst Award, yeah.
What won that?
Yeah, so that was announced our opening night of the film festival, and that was presented posthumously to Carmen and Bill Haberman, who were two really influential members of our board and helped really put the whole film festival together. So that was exciting. We had a video that we shared opening night to kind of commemorate that.
Okay, then a whole bunch of jury awards. Who's the jury, by the way? Who made the decisions here?
So there's different juries, and they're made up of different kind of film industry professionals or critics, filmmakers themselves. So each jury is made up of a bunch of different people, and they kind of have to do specifically with what they are deliberating about. So there's like the Luminaries Award, which is for second or third filmmaking experiences. So people who are making their second or third film, Emerging Fiction Award. Well, here I can say what those went to, too. The Luminaries Jury Award went to Middletown, which is a really fantastic documentary. And the Emerging Fiction Jury Award went to Outer Lands, which I got to see in the theater, and there was a Q&A with the filmmaker, and that was really, really moving. And the Emerging Documentary Jury Award went to a really powerful documentary called Remaining Native, which also had a great Q&A. And then there's tons of Cream City Cinema Awards, which is because we're in the Cream City. So those go to local filmmakers, too.
Now, Kids Choice Jury Award, did kids vote or just adults voted for kids' films? Kids voted?
No. Yeah, we have a jury made up of local 9 to 12-year-olds.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Yes. Yeah, there were six of them this year. So it's a small jury of kids, and they get to watch all of the short films at the festival. And I believe there were like 52 children's short films. And then they come up with like their special mentions, because they gave out an award for most inspirational film to a short film called Skate in the City, best representation to a film called Unibrow. But the film that took the ultimate Kids' Choice Jury Award was a film called The Carp and the Child.
Well, you know, 9 to 12-year-olds, they're into voting for films. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we just think it's important to get, you know, kids into a theater and get to experience, you know, the theatrical film experience. And it helps give them the chance to kind of show their leadership skills and persuasive skills and deliberation. And it's like they get to pick, you know, their version of the Academy Award. It's exciting.
Yeah. My superpower, if I was 9 to 12 years, I could have really done a good job there, because that's all they did was watch movies. I used to have, now this is going to really freak people out who don't really know about 8mm film. When I was a kid, we had a projector, and I used to buy movies on 8mm film, but it was 3 minutes. So they'd take a major motion picture and they'd squeeze it down to 3 minutes. It's hard to believe.
Whoa.
And I still have my 8mm movies, Castle Films, which was owned by Universal Pictures. That's why all the films are Universal. Had this deal that they'd put these movies on 8mm. You can buy the big one, which ran 9 minutes, or the little one that ran 3 minutes. And I used to have in my garage, I had a screen with a projector, charge kids 10 cents, and I used to run a whole bunch of these. And this is, you know, we're talking the early 60s here. But I love doing that. I still have those 8mm movies in the basement. The problem is I don't have a projector to show them on. So.
Yeah. I bet you could find one somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I could. If I wanted to, I could do it. But they're probably so brittle now. But it's just, I go back and look at them occasionally and think about all the days I sat there. And I kept them in mint condition. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and the kids used to get in the garage, give 10 cents, and I ran like 10 of them.
And you had like a small business.
Yeah, at, you know, 9 years old, I was really pulling in the cash. I mean, you never know where the wind's fitting the next millionaires coming from. All right, so then you have the Audience Choice Awards. This is where the audience gets to pick out their favorites, huh?
Yes, yeah. We have these little ballots at every film that you see at the festival. And afterwards, we have our amazing volunteers in the lobby, and they collect your ballots, and you just tear along the line of whichever number, 1 through 5, 5 being best, 1 being not so great. And our volunteers tally them all up, and then there's like some sort of algorithm, because we want to make sure that we're taking the average from each one and computing it and calculating it and making sure it's fair. And so after all of that calculation, the best feature film for our audience award was a documentary called The Librarians. And the best short film was a short called Jane Austen's Period Drama.
You know, this is just, it's wonderful. I mean, it's just great. Wow. And then you have the documentary. And now, let's talk about the 2026 film festivals coming around. And the dates are already set for that, huh?
Yeah, we just announced the dates, which is exciting. I didn't even know we knew the dates, but we, yes, we have them set. So mark your calendars. The 2026 Milwaukee Film Festival is April 16th through 30th, 2026.
You know, now the question is, did you show any of these movies really on film, or are they all on a hard drive?
So this year, we did not show any films on actual film during the festival. Last year, we had two films that we showed on 35-millimeter film during the festival. But we are currently at the Oriental Theater showing the new film Sinners on 70-millimeter film.
I was about to say, there is a new film out on 70-millimeter.
Yes, it's really exciting that we like have the technology and the equipment in order to screen the film in this format. Our tech team is so excited. All our projectionists, they love when they get to screen films on actual film. So that's been running for almost a week, and we're having it for 2 weeks. So there's still another week to catch Sinners on 70 millimeter.
Yeah, I feel bad for people growing up that don't know anything about that. You know, when I was a kid, we went to the Cinerama Theater. And when they had the travelogues, even for How the West Was Won and the Wonderful World of the Brothers Grimm, it was shown with three projectors. They had an A, B, and C projector, and they would show it in 35 millimeter with three projectors filling that big Cinerama screen. Now, you could see the seam lines a little bit.
But I like that.
Yeah, but yeah, if you weren't looking for it. And if you talk to the directors of these movies, they'll say they would never do it again because you're dealing with three rolls of film in each camera. You know, one big camera, three rolls of film running simultaneously. And if one's got a little glitch in it, you've got to edit all three. You can't just edit one because it won't match up.
Right.
And to watch these movies, and I remember as a kid watching them, on that big Cinerama screen with three projectors. Could you imagine that be that projectionist? I mean, that was like, you know, talk about anxiety.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard job.
Yeah, especially when you got three films running simultaneously. And if you're out of sync with one frame, you'd notice it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. I love physical film. It's always super exciting. I think I'm going to go see Sinners tomorrow. Truly.
Do you get in free?
And I've already seen it.
You don't
Do
get
I
it?
Get in free? Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Now we know the truth.
It's the best part of the job.
Who put together this, the actual booklet, I was going to call it a playbill, but the actual Milwaukee Film Festival book. I mean, this is beautiful work.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for saying that. That was a team of us. So it was me, our graphic designer, and we had another graphic designer contracted. And then there's like it program book time is a couple weeks of really intense editing and staying late at the office. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's you know, I don't tell anybody, but I stole it from here at the radio station and I brought it home with me and I've been reading it, but it's coffee table book type. It's like the paper stock is wonderful in this thing. The color separation, everything is beautiful in this. You put it together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to tell everyone at work you said this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell them Don Rosen said it. They'll say, who? Don? Who? What does he know about books? He doesn't know anything. All right. One more thing for you here. It's prom time. I'm going to mention some films. You tell me which is your favorite movie about proms, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We got Footloose, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Carrie, that's probably the wildest prom movie ever, Back to the Future, when Marty McFly's got to get his parents to meet at the prom, remember that? And American Pie. Which prom movie do you like the best? Or is there another one
wow.
I didn't mention?
Yeah. That is tough. I was between Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Carrie. I think I have to go Carrie. I love Carrie.
Well,
I love Back to the Future. I also thought Lady Bird. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I remember Lady Bird. Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty good prom movie, too.
Well, they had a list of 30 here. I just picked five because we couldn't let this go forever.
You picked 5 great ones, but I think of those, Carrie is one of my all-time favorites.
I just, you know, it's the wildest promo with John Travolta with his pig's blood and everything dropping on Carrie. And the fire, everybody's dying in the fire. I mean, it's the wildest prom.
I love Brian De Palma, so I'm a sucker for any of his films, and they're all weird.
I still got to pick Back to the Future because it was a feel-good prom where he's got to get his father to dance with his mother to get him together, and he's going to disappear forever. I mean, that's kind of a wild thing.
And
I mean,
he plays the guitar.
And his hands start disappearing, and he can't play the guitar anymore until they start to dance, and his body comes back, and the picture comes back with his brother and sister, and that's a feel-good.
It's a perfect movie for sure, like front to back. I think that's a perfect film.
I love when he goes back in time, Marty, and he sees his principal, and he says, "Didn't that guy ever have hair?" That's one of my favorites. All right, Robin, congratulations. I'm glad Civic Media and WRJM were part of it. I just love the fact that we're part of a movie thing. Robin Ehrlich is the Communications and Public Relations Coordinator for the Milwaukee Film Festival. Just ended recently, about a week or so ago. Ended its 15-day run at the Oriental and Downer Theaters, the historic Oriental and Downer Theaters in Milwaukee. The movie palaces, they don't make them like that anymore. They're too expensive. they're not profitable. Even the Oriental has 3 screens in it now. I mean, they had to do something. I mean, one movie. You know what the problem is when you get these big movie palaces? You get one bad movie stuck in there for 2 weeks, and you don't make any money.
I know.
At least
you're right.
If you have 13 theaters, you can afford to have a dud in one or two of them. But you can't afford to have one theater and have a bad movie plan. Hey, Robin, congratulations. Looking forward to the next Milwaukee Film Festival.
Thank you so much. Thanks, and thanks for having me. We loved having Civic Media be a part of the whole thing, and you've been so supportive, so thank you.
Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you a second. All right. Now it's time for the rest of the story on WRJN. It's Paul Harvey time. It's sponsored daily by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha on 75th Street and 30th Avenue. Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates. Paul's coming up in 30 seconds.
When words aren't enough, say it with flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. From breathtaking bouquets to elegant arrangements, they create floral designs for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and every special moment in between. Complete your gift with DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle with scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
The rest of the story. You have just invented something. Your invention is not quite perfected, but you know what it's going to take to get it working. You even have the plans on paper. Now, technically, you should not file a patent application without a working model. So how do you protect your brainchild? What you do is to go to the United States Patent Office and you file something called a caveat, a document expressing your intent to invent. Careful now, include all of the diagrams, all of the explanations, and then you will have gone on record. This is your invention, and you will have 2 years to make it do whatever it's supposed to do. On February 14, an inventor named Elisha Gray walked into the U.S. Patent Office with the plans for his most recent invention under his arm. The device itself was yet imperfect. That is to say, Mr. Gray had just not gotten around to building it, so he did not file a patent application. He filed a caveat expressing his intention to complete the project within 2 years. Now, the legal weight of a caveat's impressive. Companies have paid millions of dollars for such rights. So Mr. Gray's device was indeed protected. The only thing that could conceivably place his rights to his invention in jeopardy would be for another inventor to file a patent application for that same invention that same day. 1 billion to 1 shot, you say? Well, you'd better hear the rest of the story. There is a white brick Victorian house in suburban Chicago, Highland Park, the home on Hazel Avenue, where once lived this gentleman named Elisha Gray. Mr. Gray was an inventor. He patented some 70 devices, including one that transmitted pictures by wire. His genius was an obstacle in only one sense. There was simply not enough time to build all of the inventions that his brain could conceive. It was in his laboratory in that house on Hazel Avenue that Elisha Gray conceived most of his inventions, and one in particular, a gadget in which he personally believed, though his business associates did not. His business associates wanted him to concentrate on what they considered more practical things. So Mr. Gray, unwilling to abandon his pet project entirely, filed a caveat with the patent office, a document expressing his intent to invent. Now at least his device was protected, or so he thought, for that same day, February 14, 1876, another inventor filed a patent application in that same office for that same invention. Ultimately, the courts would decide that this other fellow's patent carried more weight than Gray's caveat. But this is the rest of the story. The device depicted in the other inventor's patent application was inoperative. It could not possibly have worked. What it needed to make it work was a component already described by Elisha Gray in his caveat. And yes, according to a sworn affidavit by the patent office examiner at the time, the other inventor discovered the contents of Gray's filed document. And he, the other fella, whose patent application had been prematurely filed, he then went home to complete his device. He had stolen the necessary information with which to do it. So you never heard of Elisha Gray. You've always thought it was that other fellow, Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone. Maybe, in a sense, that is so. Only now you know the rest of the story.
All right, Paul Harvey and the rest of the story. Got another one coming up this afternoon, 12:05, with Dan Marcus here at WRJN at 7:31. Let's check our morning news, see what's going on. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As demand for data centers grows, so does the demand for cooling them. Racine-based Modine Manufacturing is investing $38 million to expand its chiller production, adding over 450 jobs at a Mississippi facility. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports the company will upgrade that plant this summer. Earlier this year, Modine revealed plans for 200 new jobs at its Franklin site. The Racine Common Council tonight will decide whether to overturn a mayoral veto. Mayor Corey Mason has opposed the payout of a $21,000 claim for tree damage. It was for a resident whose car was destroyed by a falling branch from a city-owned tree. The mayor cites fiscal responsibility, but critics point to larger city expenditures and recent other litigation as evidence of inconsistency. The former Branham Lumber site on Taylor Avenue is turning into a mental health hub. Tomorrow, there's a groundbreaking event launching construction of a new 50,000-square-foot behavioral health building. A statement says the facility will centralize vital mental health and substance use services, including a new 15-bed residential treatment program. County leaders say the project will improve outcomes for those facing behavioral health challenges. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Wisconsin farmers are planting a crop today, but not necessarily certain where it will end up. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. If it's being used for feed, that's one thing, but if it's bound for the marketplace, well, you just don't know where it might end up. Dr. Seth Meyer is USDA's chief economist, and he says while there's a lot of anxiety in the marketplace about potential tariffs and world agreements, he says, really, there still is a lot of world opportunity for U.S. grain.
So India's a tough nut to crack, but there are opportunities there. And so when you look at what are opportunities, some of those opportunities are tough, though. The Indian market's pretty tough, but clearly they need feed and both grains and oilseed meals for their poultry industry within the country. So there's opportunities there.
Dr. Seth Meyer, chief economist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, pointing to India as a challenging market, but one that could hold great promise for U.S. grains. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Tuesday morning. A little bit mixed. We'll get to numbers and the latest planting progress report next.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 185.5. 40-pound block cheese down 3.25. 189.75. Well, AA butter was unchanged. This morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 4 at 19.06. Well, July corn's down a penny. December new crop down a half, 441. July beans down a penny. November new crop unchanged, 1037. July wheat right now up 6 at 535 a bushel. The Wisconsin farmer continued planting despite the weather. 73% of our corn in the ground as of Sunday. 66% of our soybeans are planted. 84% of our potatoes already in the ground. And 5% of the first cutting of our 2025 alfalfa crop already harvested. Just a quick snapshot on the markets this morning. I am Pam Yonke.
It's going to be windy and cold with rain, heavy rain likely here today. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more by the time everything winds down late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Our high today near 50, wind will be east gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 46. Tomorrow, not as windy. High of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Whenever I visit another city, I always act like I'm from there, so the cab driver doesn't rip me off. I'm always like, hey, it's good to be back home. Back here where I grew up. Yeah, here in Tokyo. Everything looks familiar because I grew up here. Oh, where do I need to go? Driver, I need to go to my old stomping grounds. That would be the Holiday Inn. And the address appears to be the pound sign. So, step on it.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN. Just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun, fun, fun. Till her daddy takes a T-Bird away.
Fun, fun, fun. Till her daddy takes a T-Bird
well,
away.
Well, where is the standard? Cause she walks, looks and cries like an ace.
You walk like an ace now. You walk like an ace.
She makes the 8500 look like a Roman chariot face.
You look like an ace now. You look like an ace.
A lot of guys try to catch her, but she leads them on a wild goose chase.
You drive like an ace now. You drive like an ace.
And she'll have fun.
Fun till her daddy takes a T-Bird away.
Fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes a T-Bird away. Well, you knew all along that your dad was giving wise to you now.
Now you shouldn't have lied.
And since he took your set of keys, you've been thinking that your fun is all through.
You shouldn't have lied. Now you shouldn't have lied.
Come along with me, cause we got a lot of things to do
now. Now you shouldn't
and
lie.
We'll have
fun, fun, fun. Now that daddy took the T-Bird away.
Fun, fun, fun. Now that daddy
and we'll have
fun, fun, fun. Now that daddy took the T-Bird away.
Fun, fun, fun. Now that daddy took the T-Bird away.
Fun, fun, fun. Now that
Hawaii, 7:39, local news, time is hits here at WRJN. All right, this question is trending. Do you have any weird rules you made for yourself when you were younger that you still follow? Now, it could be for good reason or no reason at all, but you decided it was a personal rule. No one made you do it. You just wanted to follow this rule. For example, if you need to retie one shoelace, do you retie the other one? If you don't, you'll end up with one loose shoe and one tight shoe. Each armpit gets the same number of deodorant swipes. That's kind of an OCD thing, I think. When you meet someone, you can't swear in front of them until they swear in front of you, and then you go wild. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you're not allowed to look at the time. If you know what time it is, you get anxious and you won't fall back asleep again. That happens to me all the time, but I do fall back asleep. When you're eating, you save a bite of your favorite thing for last, like maybe that last bite of the mashed potatoes, so you finish on a high note. People do that. Never use fake excuses like, I can't go, my grandma's sick. And you don't say that because if she does get sick, you feel you caused it. This one's nice, though. If you find a penny on the ground, but it's heads not heads up, you turn it heads up for the next person to find it and have good luck. I like that one. And you can't brag about a random act of kindness because if you tell someone about it, it cancels out the good karma. Interesting stuff, huh? Rules we make for ourselves. I'm sure you have other ones, too. It's 7:41. Local news, timeless hits at WRJN. Coming up, we've got some tickets to give away to the Racine Raiders at historic Horlick Field for this weekend.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring. Oh, make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together. Some may go, he will surely be his. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the gray. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there.
Let's get together. 7:45. Local news, timeless hits here at WRJN. All right, this guy on Reddit wants some advice. He refused to be the best man at his twin brother's wedding. You know why? His twin is marrying his ex-girlfriend. So what do you think? Think he should just, you know, bury the hatchet or just, you know, say, I'm boycotting this wedding. That's kind of be weird to see the girl you were with marrying your brother. Ah, I couldn't deal with that. 7:45 at WRJN. Guess what? The Racine Raiders back in action at historic Horlick Field this Saturday when they take on the Illinois Cowboys. WRJN will air the game featuring Don Wadowitz on the play-by-play. Pre-game 6:45, kickoff 7 p.m. Saturday. Racine Raiders football sponsored by Our Harmony Club, providing social date programs for older adults. Erasmus and Diamonds, providing Racine beautiful stories for 125 years. Time and Again Music and More, Sturdivant's vinyl destination. Kelly Friesema of EXP Realty and Tropical Smoothie Cafe. You're on Tropic Time on WRJN. All right, you know what I think it's going to do? It's going to rain today, but I think right now it's going to rain tickets. Let's give away some more tickets to the Racine Raiders. If you haven't won any ever this season, give me a call right now and we'll give you a family four-pack of tickets to historic Horlick Field to see the Raiders take on the Illinois Cowboys this Saturday night. You get to be in the stands courtesy of WRJN. So if you haven't won any in the past since we started doing it, give me a call right now, 262-634-9756. That's 262-634-WRJN. Easy to remember. 262-634-9756, and we'll give you a family four-pack of tickets to go see the Racine Raiders play in action at historic Horlick Field. Hi, what's your first name? Hello? Hi, what's your first name? Hello?
Vaughn.
What is it?
Vaughn.
Spell it for me.
V-A-U.
Oh, Vaughn. Okay, Vaughn. I got you, Vaughn. All right, Vaughn, we got four pack of tickets, four tickets to go see the Racine Raiders this Saturday night at the Horlick Field. How's that sound? Good?
Sounds great to me.
All right, Vaughn, hold on the line. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Oh, by the way, what town are you calling from, Vaughn?
Racine.
Okay, Vaughn, hold on the line. We'll get you those tickets, a family four pack. We've got more to give away on Thursday, too, so if you missed it today, we'll give you more on Thursday. How's that? 7:47, local news, timeless hits, WRJN. Right now, here's Pete with the beat.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mission Impossible opens in just 3 days and already has pulled in $12 million prior to its domestic release. Tom Cruise is on a press tour receiving standing ovations, and the latest is in New York, where Cruise addressed the crowd at the premiere. Cruise said it was director Christopher McQuarrie's idea 7 years ago to shoot Dead Reckoning Part 1 and the current Final Reckoning at the same time. He told the crowd it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the franchise. The film had its worldwide premiere at Cannes last week and also received a 5-minute standing ovation. It opens this Friday, May 23rd. More news out of the Cannes Film Festival, where fans of Wes Anderson will be thrilled to learn that he received almost an 8-minute standing ovation after the premiere of his film, The Phoenician Scheme. The film has an impressive ensemble cast, which includes Wisconsinite Willem Dafoe and Benicio del Toro in the lead. It's reviewing well and opens June 6th in the U.S. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh my God, you guys, Legally Blonde continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild. Elle Woods is totally in love with Warner until he dumps her to attend Harvard Law. Determined to win him back, Elle ditches fashion magazines for law books and gets accepted to Harvard too. Tackling stereotypes, statutes, and scandal, she defies expectations and proves herself to the world in this fabulously fun and inspiring musical. Call the box office 633-4218 or visit racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Celebrate your special day with a custom cake from Main Street Bakery in downtown Racine. Whether it's an elegant tiered wedding cake or a playful personalized birthday treat, each creation is made to order, baked with love, and crafted from the freshest, finest ingredients. Let Main Street Bakery bring a touch of sweetness to your celebration. Call 262-770-4111 today. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Main Street Bakery, where every creation is crafted with care.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Spring is here. The perfect home is waiting for you. Whether buying or selling, Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty is your trusted local expert. She'll guide you every step of finding the right home. First-time buyer? Kelly simplifies everything. Selling? She'll price it right and market it for top dollar. Need financing guidance? Kelly has trusted lender connections. Call 262-939-4687 today to start your journey. Spring markets move fast. Call Kelly Friesema with eXp Realty to find your dream home.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A major program that protects drinking water is on the chopping block in Congress. Lawmakers are considering slashing $2.4 billion from the state revolving fund. The program helps Wisconsin replace lead pipes and filter toxic contamination out of drinking water supplies. Our state will lose $54 million next year if funding gets cut. Parts of Wisconsin are being invaded this month by lake midges. Swarms of the insects have been rising from water bodies, including Lake Monona in Madison. The bugs can create quite a scene when they all hatch at once, but they are harmless and provide food for fish, bats, and birds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't lie. Jan Bradley. I haven't heard that in a while. Good song. It's 7:54 local news. Timeless hits here at WRJN. Now, do you wish your boss would do this? A company called Exos trains high-performance athletes, and their CEO just launched something called You Do You Fridays. That's where employees get to do whatever they want on that Friday. You can catch up on work, take the day off, but no one is allowed to have meetings or send emails to anybody. I kind of like that. Hey, coming up today, we've got showers with a high near 50. Right now, it is raining. It's 45 degrees right here at Radio Park.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long. See you in September.
see you in September. 756 WRJN local news and timeless hits. Told my wife about this last night. She tried it and said, yeah, it works. Wintergreen Lifesavers make blue sparks in the air when you bite them because of the triboluminescence or light resulting from something being smashed. So she shut the lights off last night, I guess, and she bit into a wintergreen, which we have a whole bag of them, and said, yeah, they do spark. What do you know about that? The Rosens with a science experiment that worked. Finally, 757, local news, timeless hits. We got some rain now, 45 degrees at Radio Park, but on the radio, we got Roy Orbison.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman,
Pretty Woman. It's 8 o'clock at WRJN. Here's something that might freak you out. In every glass of water you drink, every glass of water, there's at least one molecule of water that's been on Earth since the dinosaurs existed. Does that freak you out or what? 8 o'clock on the news. Here's news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Racine, Kenosha.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Vicki Barker. More tornadoes have ripped through the nation's midsection. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Blanco, Oklahoma.
455 damaging storm reports yesterday alone were in the town of Blanco, which got clipped by one of those tornadoes. Power lines down, debris just all over the place. At least 10 homes badly damaged in this county alone on day two of a storm that's just been slamming the center.